How do you spell grace? When you begin to think about the grace of God that brings us all together in one, how do you spell it? When you begin to understand and look at first love, what does first love look like? First love that's active. First love that has meaning behind it. First love that's divine with people and with personalities. First love. We've been on a series of first love and seeking it. And this series of first love has carried us to a city of Ephesus. And in that city of Ephesus, we discovered a guy who wrote them a letter. His name was Paul. Paul wrote a letter to the gateway to Asia. It was a gateway of the good news of Jesus Christ. And as we began to read this letter that was written, we discovered one major thing that really kind of stuck out in my mind for these few weeks. And that is, we've been adopted. We've been adopted by Jesus Christ. We've been adopted into a family. A family that's so real, that's so big. And I think about that amazing grace and the family that we've been adopted to. And so we shared that in that side of that amazing grace of so much of what God is doing for us today. We carry back with this first love. And we went over into the Revelation. In the Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, we go back to that city there of Ephesus. And inside of that city, the Lord Jesus said to John on an isle of Patmos, He said, "Look, I know that the church is doing many great things." But He said, "There's one thing that's missing, and that is you stop doing the works of first love." First love. Then we tried to capture that first love. What is the depth of that? What are some of the core principles of that? What is that meaning of first love? And the strongest picture that we could get of first love is when the Scripture said in Mark, where He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." First love. We begin to probe into this. How do we have that kind of first love with the Lord God? When He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." How do we have that first love? And so we traveled over into John's writings a little bit earlier before that day that he wrote in the Revelation. When he wrote in the John, he said, "We love Him because He first loved us." So doing the works of first love comes out of something that God expressed to you and something that God expressed. He gave us first love. We see the highlight of that first love when we look at the cross of Jesus Christ. When we see what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you and for me, His love, He showed it in its purest form. Earlier, the Lord Jesus has said, "Greater loveth no man than this, than to lay down one's life for another." And then over, Paul wrote to a city in Romans, a church that was meeting there in Romans. He told us about even while we were yet sinners, rejecting God, didn't care for Him. He loved us and He died for us. That's great love. That's first love, when He sought us out. And then we begin to develop that thought as we went a little bit further in seeing how this adoption takes place. The process of adoption, it occurs with some core values. It encompasses this. The process of adoption is the redemption of people through the life or through the blood of Jesus, for the forgiveness of our sins, experiencing the richness of His grace. So in Ephesians 1, 7 and 8, I'd like to bring this back to your attention. It says in verse 7, it says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him." looking at this process, this is a process of adoption. The core value, the core principles that we see in the core value, the first core value we talked about last week was that of redemption. And when we think about redemption, if I could color you a picture that we introduced last week, it's when a man of God named Hosea, that God told him, I want you to go back into a city and I want you to take a wife of whoredoms. I want you to go to a city and I want you to take a wife that's impure. And he went in and he found this woman whose name was Gomer. And unbeknowing why, he married this woman. And they started having children. And in the first child that he had, they named him Jezreel, because he said, call his name Jezreel, for in a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu and bring in an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. The name Jezreel means God will sow. He was going to sow judgment upon this house. And then they had another child, Lo-Ruhamah. In Hosea 1:6 it says, and she conceived and bore a daughter. Then God said, call her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. These names were giving significant. And so Lo-Ruhamah means no pity. No pity. I will not pity the house of Israel any longer. And they had another child. And the child's name was Lo-Ami. The name of the word Lo-Ami means not my people. Hosea 1:9 says, call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Symbolically, this is what happened. Israel left their first love. And when they left their first love, God said to them, I'm backing away from you. Hosea chapter 3, God does a strange thing. His wife Gomer had played the harlot. She left him. God said to him, go find Gomer and bring her back. He searched the cities. He searched the streets. Ultimately, he ended up at the auction box in which they were auctioning off slaves. He looked around and behold, he saw this person who looked much like the woman that he had married, but something had happened in her life. And now the course of her action had taken the beauty away. And there she was. And he says, I want her. He took 15 pieces of silver. He bought her back. Took her to his home and said, now you will abide with me from now on. No other man will have you. You will be my wife. What is that a picture of? It's a picture of God saying to Israel, even though you have played the harlot, I have bought you back to me. What is that a picture of? That's a picture of the Lord Jesus saying, even when we were yet within our sins, Christ died for us. And Jesus said, though you were separated from me, I have bought you back to me. And with that great love, there's redemption. That picture of adoption carries us into forgiveness. God the Father acquitted because of the blood of Jesus. We read that through the blood of Jesus. And the Scripture says it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all of our sins. So what happens in this period of adoption? We're not only brought back from an area in which we should not have been in, but He brought us back and He washed us up. The same thing He did with Gomer. Hosea took Gomer back and washed her up. Even so, God washes us, forgives us. He is through the blood of Jesus Christ, that life that was sacrificed for us. He washed us and He made us one with Him. And then He gave to us the gift of eternal life. And that's what He said when He accepted the beloved. He says, for by grace, in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. God's grace. Gomer, you don't deserve my love, Hosea would have said. but I love you. People today, we don't deserve the love of Jesus Christ, but Jesus said, I love you. And so therefore, I want to adopt you into my family. The passion of the adoption reached out of the Father's love in verse 9 where he says, and having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. This passion, the passion of the adoption of Father is making known this was God's pleasure. This is what God wanted to do. God wanted you to know, hey, I feel good about adopting you. It's in my plan. Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. When the time was right. The adoption process went through this. God, in his kindness and in his love and in his dignity, delighted the Father of heaven. Oh, I can't wait to get to the last verse. I'm trying to get there faster because I can't stand it. Because I'm telling you that there's something coming. You got to see it. But in Colossians 1:19, it says, for it pleased God the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, had made peace through the blood of his cross. Whoa! The light of the Father. Through the blood of the cross. Our adoption was determined by God and his precious blood. The passion, the providence of adoption now works inside of God's plan. This is a perfect plan. And he said in Ephesians 1:10, he said that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he wants us to see this. God's revelation is progressive. Do you know something about God now? Good. Because you can know something more. Let me show you how progressive it is. All of a sudden, you got this guy named Adam. Adam's out in a... Man, he's in a garden like you wouldn't believe. He's in a place where trees and fruit is everywhere. I don't know if he even found a worm in an apple. I really don't. I mean, now, wouldn't you like to go to a garden like that? My brother was planting some turnip greens this last week. And he says, you know what? Even before I got the turnip greens in the ground, the worms found the turnip greens. That's the world we live in. The worms are out to get you. Okay? But back in Adam. Now all of a sudden Adam is in this beautiful garden. And God gave him a wife named Eve. But Adam and Eve did something stupid. And they got kicked out of the garden. And you say, that's the end of the picture. No, it's not. That's only the beginning of the picture. Because they got kicked out, they needed somebody to redeem them. And God sent them Jesus. And then, as God sent them Jesus, we go on and he's going to show us another garden. But this garden's going to be perfect. With fruit that yields every month. Healing in the leaves. Healing in the fruit. What started in the Garden of Eden is going to the place of paradise. And we're going to receive a new heaven and a new earth. Now, why is that so important to us? The Bible is progressive in revelation. Men became lost, and the Garden of Eden becomes a prototype of what is going to come. But I'd like to take you on a quick trip. How would y'all like to take a 6,000-year journey? Preacher, how long is it going to take you to... Have you ever been to one of those video shows where they had 10,000 clips, and you were interested in the first 15, maybe 20, but when number 45 and 60 came around, you're doing this, and then you begin to say, wow, is he ever going to get through? I've been in those. The guy that was doing it was loving it and living it. I'm going to carry you now for 6,000 years. I'm going to carry you back to a man named Adam and Eve. 6,000 years ago. And then for 2,000 years, the only thing I want you to see in that picture is a guy named Noah. Noah and his family. Noah and his family survived the flood. Every man, woman, boy, and girl was killed or washed up on this earth except eight, Noah and his family. Inside of that 2,000-year period, though, I want to carry you to a guy, and his family was known as from Abraham. Abraham became the father of many nations, primarily Israel. But Abraham, all of a sudden, and now in this first 2,000-year period, you're seeing the birth of a new family. And Abraham comes on the scene around 2160 B.C. Around 2091, Abraham moves into a land called Canaan. And there he looks for a city whose author and maker was God. 2060, he has a son named Isaac that's born. 1898, one of Jacob's sons, Joseph, was sold into slavery. Children of Israel go into Egypt. For 400 years, they are now in Egypt. 1446, they come out of Egypt. They go into the land, toward the promised land. There at Mount Sinai, God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. The first tabernacle is built. 1445, the Ten Commandments. 1400, Israelites move or enter into Canaan. 1367, Othniel becomes the first judge over the house of Israel. 1105, Samuel's birth. 1075, Samson becomes Israel's first judge. 1050, Saul becomes the first king. 1010, David becomes king. 971, Solomon becomes king. 959, the first temple is completed, Solomon's temple. Okay, Christina, tell us about Solomon's temple. Okay, as we move on beyond that, we see now that happened. In 930, Rehoboam becomes king over the two northern tribes of Israel. The kingdom split in 930. 740 B.C., Isaiah's ministry begins. 722, the fall of Israel. 627, Jeremiah, the prophet's ministry begins. 605, Daniel is exiled into Babylon. 586, the fall of Judah. 538, the first exiles return to Jerusalem. 536, the rebuilding of the temple begins. 516, the second temple is completed under Ezra and Zerubbabel. 479, Esther becomes queen of Persia. 458, Ezra returns to Jerusalem from exile. 445, Nehemiah returns to Jerusalem. 443 B.C., Malachi's ministry begins. And then all of a sudden, history goes silent for 400 years. You have now traveled 4,000 years. Around 4 B.C. to 0 B.C., a little child is born from a virgin. Virgin's name was Mary. The child's name, Emmanuel, God with us. Also named Jesus. For 33 years, for some 30 years, Jesus lived in quietness. No account, except one account in that period of time when he was 12 years old. He was there at the temple. He lived, age 30, he begins his public ministry. He heals the sick, he raises the dead, he calls the blind to see. Age 33, some bad men got after him. They took him, they nailed him to a cross, he died on the cross. He was laid in the grave, and then for 3 days, Jesus was there in the grave, in the coldness in the tomb. But on the third day, he rose from the grave. A.D., roughly, A.D. 33. Roughly A.D. 45, Herod's temple is complete. A.D. 65, Herod's temple is completed. 5 years later, all of a sudden the Roman soldiers come in and they destroy the temple there in Jerusalem. Herod's temple is gone. The church begins roughly A.D. 33 and now continues on even to the present. Up to today, 2013, God has given the age of grace for the Gentiles to come to know Jesus Christ. At a point in time to be announced, God is going to say, here is the fullness of time. Now begin the 7 years of the tribulation in which God will bring and rain down judgment on planet earth. for 7 years like the world had never seen. Then he kicks in. At the end of that 7 years, he kicks in for 1,000 years. In 1,000 years, Christ will rule and reign on planet Earth. At the end of that 1,000 years, Satan's going to be released from bondage, then cast into the eternal lake of fire. A new heaven and a new earth will come. Eternity began. God rolls back the curtain to heaven. You have now traveled through at least 7,000 years of history. But God said, in the fullness of time, He sent Christ to adopt us. Verse 10 says, the plan of adoption is for God to bring back all creation without any separation. And this is really where I wanted to get to, folks. He says that He might, in verse 10, Ephesians 1:10, He says that in that dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. What is happening? The plan of the adoption is for God to bring all creation without any separation. How would you like to have a cobra as a pet? How would you like to have a rattlesnake as a doorbell? Okay. Oh, you got one now? No. How would you like for the lion to lay down with the lamb? And you let your grandchild go over there and start pulling on the beard of that. How would you like for the Russians to sit right next to you at the table and break bread? How would you like for the Middle East to be sitting across a table from you, and you facing me? How would you like for the to be right there next to you? How would you like for all of the people of the world who are born again, believers, the Hispanics, the Latinos, the Ukrainians, how would you like for them all to sit around and be able to talk and understand and know exactly what is being said? That's what God's doing. He's bringing all of it so there'll be no separation. And He's doing that, and He's doing that in Christ. You can see that picture as though it's God taking this piece of a puzzle and He's bringing this puzzle together. God is going to unite it in one. Isn't that going to be awesome? That He is going to adopt us and bring us together? So this perspective, the final thoughts that I want to bring to you right here, the perspective of adoption creates reasons to work. In other words, we're going to see in Christ there's redemption. In Christ there's an inheritance. In Christ there is salvation. In Christ there is security. And that's what I'd like for us to see. But I want to look at it from the word perspective. Okay, here he is. It's question time. What does the word perspective mean? Somebody help me out here. What does the word perspective mean? Good answer. Yeah, that's a safe answer. There you go. Take on something. Perspective. And Carter Dictionary says, particular evaluation of something. Measured assessment of a situation. Appearance of distant objects to observer. Number 4, allowance of artistic perspective when drawing. Don't that just bless your heart now? Yeah, y'all go home and say, boy, we read about perspective today. But wait a minute. Apply your adoption to the word perspective and see how that works. In Him, in verse 7 through 14, and I'm not going to take the time to read this, but in verses 7 through 14, in Him, that is in Christ, We have redemption through His blood. In a particular evaluation of something, the adopted have been brought together with the creation of oneness in Christ Jesus. Get the picture? A particular evaluation now has transcribed. You have been brought in oneness in Him, that is in Jesus. Verse 11 says, in Him we have obtained an inheritance. In other words, in the measured assessment of the situation, the adopted have obtained an inheritance in Christ. You've got an inheritance. It's waiting on you. All you got to do is die. Any takers? Okay, tomorrow maybe. Yeah. All right, but it's waiting on you. It's already there. You've been redeemed. You're brought in unity with Christ. You've got an inheritance that's waiting on you. After your next breath, it's there waiting on you. It's in Christ. And then in Christ we have salvation. Jesus paid the price for us to belong. In verse 13, it says, in whom you have also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Jesus paid the price. In the appearance of distant objects to the observer, we have been adopted. Into the family after hearing the word of truth and trusting Christ in our salvation, in Him in whom you've been adopted. And then Jesus keeps us safe. In Him you've got security. The Scripture says, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, we're bringing this picture into focus right here. We're trying to paint for you first love. See it. Understand it. Do it. The core values of adoption established our position in the family by redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, allowing forgiveness of our sins and experiencing the grace of God. God the Father purposed in Himself that when the time was right, He gathered all creation in unity with Christ. The Father's perspective establishes the fact that in Christ we have redemption, inheritance, salvation, and security. What are you going to do with it? Okay? What are you going to do with it? Let me bring out the brush. One painting on the wall I want you to see. That painting on the wall, I want you to see adoption. And I want you to paint your picture. You might just write your name. If you've not been adopted into the family of God, do it today. You say, I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. He's offered to adopt you. All you have to do is agree with Him. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? All you've got to do is say, Jesus, I'm in. Now, secondly, after you've been adopted, understand first love. You understand first love like no one else when you're first adopted into the family. And when you're adopted in the family, then you do the works of first love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Do the works. Now, if you've lost your first love, by the way, you can lose your first love. If you've lost your first love, Paul wrote to the church there in Ephesus, look, here's what you do to get it back. He said, repent and do. See, two characters. Repent, turn away from, and do the works. That's what he says. So therefore, if you've lost your first love, then repent of going the wrong way and do the works. Now, if you are doing the works of your first love, then spend some time right now in thanking God. Thanking God. One guy that forgot the first love. His name was David. And he said, God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. You see, if you don't have the joy, something's out of sync. You've been adopted into a family. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. And the best, Nate, the best is yet to come. Okay? It's come. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for loving us so much that when the time was right, Lord, when the time was right, you sent Jesus. And today, Lord, I pray that each one of us will understand that we have been adopted. And because of the great love that you showed us, now, God, we're gonna stay with you. We're going to do the works. We're not going to be a dash, but we're going to be a journey. We're going to stay with you all the way, God. You stuck with us. You sealed us. You kept us safe. Now we're going with you. So, Lord, now, right now, God, there's some people who need to come into the family of God. And one day, Lord, we're all going to sit down together at a table worldwide. Every continent in the world, and not only every continent, but heaven's angels are going to be sitting next to us. And those believers who've already gone on, they're going to be sitting there at the table with, oh God, it's going to be good. God, thank you. Thank you for adopting me into your family. Thank you for giving me so many brothers and sisters in all the continents in the world and in heaven right now. Thank you, Lord. I didn't deserve it. Don't today. But you love me enough to say, you're in. God, if there's one right here, right now, that's not in, please, God, right now, get them in. Lord, I want them in my family. Please, Lord, please. Those who are missing out on the joy, oh God, restore the joy of salvation. Those who quit doing the work, God, help them to repent. That's sin, Lord. It's sin. Help them to repent. You want them to be fulfilled and satisfied. You want them to be active and happy. God, you want them to know the joy of salvation, even in the midst of suffering. God, you want them to know that right now, God. Right now, let there be some repentance going on. Let there be some people to understand its sinfulness not to have the first love. And also, let us as a church know, God, that if we don't do the works of first love, you're going to take your Spirit away from us. We're in trouble. Father, those who are walking with you in love, help them to shout a little bit inside. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. So now, Lord, we praise your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Are you in the family? Not, I'd like to ask you to do one thing. Come up here and say, Robert, I want in. That's all I'm going to ask you. Now, I'm going to talk to you a little bit, okay? But just say, I want in. You come on, we're going to talk a little bit. For those struggling with that first love, nail it down, folks. Man, don't go through another day of life. Without first love, just repent. Start doing it today, not tomorrow. Today. Those who are enjoying first love, man, enjoy it. It's good. And knowing the best is yet to come. So what do you need to do this morning? Some of you need to go to the prayer altars. Y'all got some talking with God to do. Some of you need to come and say, Robert, I want in. Some of you just need to sing out, praise God. What's God telling you to do during this time? This is your time. This is your time. Let's stand together as people make decisions.